The gospel lesson this evening is from the 13th chapter of John. This is the good news about Jesus. Just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world to go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. It was supper time. The devil had now entered Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, firmly in his grip. He was all set for the betrayal. Jesus knew that the Father had put in him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God and he was on his way back to God. So Jesus got up from the supper table and set aside his robe and put on an apron. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with his apron. When he got to Simon Peter, Peter said, "Master, you're washing my feet?" Jesus answered, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but it will be clear enough to you later on." But Peter persisted. "You're not going to wash my feet ever." And Jesus said, "Well, if I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I am doing." "Master," Peter said, "then not only my feet, wash my hands, wash my head." Jesus said, "If you've had a bath in the morning, you only need your feet washed now, and you're clean from head to toe. My concern, you understand, is holiness, not hygiene. So now you're clean, but not all of you." He knew who was betraying him. That's why he said, "Not every one of you." After he had finished washing their feet, he took his robe and put it back on and went back to the place at his table. And then Jesus said, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so, that is who I am. But if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a command for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee does not give orders to the employer. If you understand what I am telling you, act like it and live a blessed life." Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for these words. They're spoken by Jesus. And may they be heard by us so that we might do what he invites us to do, to live that blessed life. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So on the Holy Week journey that we have been on, we always get the beginning and the ending right. Like, Holy Week begins on what day? That's very good. Excellent. You all knew that, right? Just checking. Yes. I think most people kind of get that. And of course, the Holy Week ends on when? Easter Sunday. Now, you can imagine that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that Sunday, they did not call it Palm Sunday. Right? "Hey, Jesus, are we going up to Jerusalem soon, Palm Sunday?" No, I don't think that's probably how it worked, right? The name came a little later. And so as the good people like you and me, people after time, after a few decades go by, after a few hundred years or two, actually Palm Sunday wasn't quite in vogue as a title for many hundreds of years. But later, thoughtful people said, "You know what, we gotta like call that Sunday something. You know, it kind of starts this week, it's very special." The word holy means to set aside for something special. That's what holy means. I know we have sort of a lofty idea, holy, God is holy, God is holy. But holy is just another word for special, to set aside something as special. And so these people in the church, you know, said, you know, people are worshiping Christ, and it's just a wonderful thing, but we need to kind of organize how we understand the events of Christ's life to teach people who may not know. And so let's start the week, Holy Week. We'll call it Holy Week. We'll start the day on, I know, let's call it Palm Sunday. I kind of stuck. And of course, Easter Sunday is another curious day. You know, when Mary Magdalene and the other women who were the first gospel proclaimers, they were the first preachers of the church, the women. The women got the message first. But when they woke up that Sunday morning, they didn't say, hey, it's Easter. Let's get up. Come on, it's Easter. Let's go to the sunrise service at Sunset Beach. I mean, you know, no, they didn't do that. They just kind of woke up on Sunday morning. It was simply the day to prepare the body for burial, because they would have done it on Saturday, but why didn't they? It's the Sabbath day. You don't do anything on the Sabbath. Remember, Jesus got in trouble several times for doing stuff on the Sabbath. So, no rule breaking there. Mary and Mary Magdalene, for example, waited until the end of the Sabbath period. And of course, they didn't do it Friday night, because really the Sabbath time really begins on Friday evening. So, the first day of Holy Week is kind of easy. We call it Palm Sunday. And the last day of Holy Week is kind of easy. We call it Easter, which again is a name that came hundreds of years later. But what did Jesus do in the middle of the week? He like take it off? Was he kind of relaxing? Well, we'll learn, you know, of course, that he did lots of amazing things every day of his life. We have snippets of it in the scriptures. But on this particular day, we're sort of halfway through what we call, they did not call it this, but we call it Holy Week, and Jesus is nearing the end. But the disciples did not know that. He told them many, many times that he was going to die, but they wanted nothing of it. In fact, you remember when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he told them, hey, listen, we got to go up to Jerusalem, and I just want you folks to know that I'm going to be turned over to the religious leaders, and they're not going to treat me very kindly. In fact, a couple days after that, I'm going to die, but on the third day, I will rise again. And Peter stood in front of him and said, oh, no, you don't. And do you remember what Jesus told Peter at that moment? Get behind me, Satan. You don't have on your mind the things of God, but on the things of men. So get with the program. There's a mission that needs to happen. You're in it. And I'm the star, Jesus said. I'm the main focus of this. But you will go with me to Jerusalem, and it will not be pretty. So finally, they're there. But they can hardly imagine what would happen next. Jesus was about to endure the pain of everyone's suffering, humanity's pain. He was to bear in his body so that he would, in rising from the dead, lift our pain with him. But we didn't know that then. So this is just an ordinary Passover meal that Jesus has with his disciples. You know, there's been a lot of really crazy events that have happened recently around our world. Things that are painful. Things that are just remind us how awful people can be to one another. For example, in Guatemala City, recently 41 orphan girls were burned alive last month. Just awful, in a fire. It kind of makes us pause to listen. Jesus says often to us, listen, listen, pay attention, listen. What does that say? Last week we heard the news, of course, of a tragedy in Egypt that killed 45 people. You know that, surprisingly, in Egypt, one of the earliest Christian churches is still there. One of the largest Christian churches in that part of the world is in Cairo. And 10% of the Egyptian population are members of churches. That surprised me. That's just an incredible number of people. And the Muslims there in Egypt are normally great friends with their Christian friends. These are terrorists and extremists that do these awful things. But the Muslim community is quite upset with Christians sometimes, because when tragedy happens to many of these Christian believers, they of course experience the pain, but they forgive the perpetrator. Now, not everyone and not perfectly, but generally, the community of faith, Christian faith in Cairo had an outpouring of prayer for their Muslim friends. And that's just, what? What? Their Muslim friends? What? You don't want to like rise up and just get revenge? I mean, it's as awful. It's on Palm Sunday it occurred, right? Awful. The start of Holy Week. People, this happened to them. People went to church to praise and participate in a parade about Jesus, and they ended up having funeral processions during Holy Week for those that were lost. Many more suffered. And what about the dozens murdered in chemical weapons in Syria? So we know that we don't have to look far. We don't have to reach back to the Civil War, or World War I, or World War II, or the Korean War, or all the conflicts like Vietnam, and all the other ones in between. We don't need to look very far back to find the kind of thing that just reminds us of how awful we can treat one another. It's only last week, or yesterday, or even this morning. So keep this in mind, that Jesus knew the future, and Jesus knew all the pain that we can just inflict on one another in our worst moments. And the disciples, of course, knew that the person who was with them eating bread, Judas, would betray him soon. They did not. The disciples didn't know Judas was on his way to betray. But Jesus knew. And Jesus still welcomed him to the table. Jesus still offered him the cup. Jesus still offered him the bread. Jesus still washed his feet. So on this, what we call the Last Supper, and again, they did not call it that. They just thought, this is just one Passover meal, and next year there'll be another. Well, they didn't realize, as we do, that sometimes God does some amazing things to intervene. But the curious thing is here, I think, in this passage, is that Jesus leaves them with an example that we, in our tradition, whether it's Reformed Church, Presbyterian, or almost any other denomination in the United States, I think the Brethren still wash feet regularly, the Brethren denomination. But we've gotten away from that, and I think that's curious. I think we're just too practical for that. You know, we're just too sensible as Presbyterians. You know, we formed that foot washing committee, but it never came out of consultation. They never brought a motion forward to be voted on by the session. They just kind of got lost in all that good research that they did. I don't know why. But imagine, Jesus, for his disciples, as we come to this table, as a remembrance of that last, what we call the Last Supper, it hopefully will not be our Last Supper. This is just another time that we will celebrate around this table. But everyone is invited. The betrayer, the doubter. Who was the doubter? What was his name? Thomas, yes. And how about the one who always put his foot in his mouth? What disciple does that remind you of? Peter? Always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. Do you know anybody like that? Oh, yeah. I have a mirror. Oh, yeah, that'd be him. And so all these people were invited to be with Jesus around the table and celebrate in this meal. And the one thing that Jesus has them, this is, again, his last time. They did not realize it was the last time. But Jesus knew, this is the last time I'm going to have their attention. They weren't his dying words. That would come later. But these were some of the last words he told them before the cross. And you know what? He didn't give them a Bible exam. What are some things we believe as followers of Christ? Just a belief. Just something, not necessarily everybody, but maybe mostly we believe. Name something we believe. What's that?
God the Father, maker of heaven and earth.
Sure, the Apostles' Creed, and restate all of those phrases. That would be a great place to start. He might have quizzed them about Jewish history. He might have quizzed them about some of his teachings. Hey, do you remember, how many people did I feed on that mountain? He might have said to them. Who knows all the different things that he might have shared with them or tested them or grilled them. This is my last time with my disciples. I got to make sure they get it right. But what did Jesus do? He washed their feet. He didn't give them a test. He didn't check their theology. He didn't ask if their tie was on straight. He didn't even check and see if they had clean feet. In fact, Jesus said, the dirtier the better. Get on up here. Peter says, you're not washing my feet. Jesus said, well, Peter, come on now. If I don't wash your feet, I mean, you're not going to be able to participate in what I'm doing. Everybody's in. Nobody's excluded. Judas is there. Thomas, John, everybody. Everybody's around that table. Jesus excludes no one. My life has no more value than anyone else, but it has no less value than anyone else. Jesus knew that about all of us. Everyone is welcome to the table. And the commandment he wanted his disciples to get was not about theology or how they looked or where they lived or how much they gave. He wanted them to understand that the most important thing is that you take on the life of a servant. Boy, I don't like that. You know, can I have a Bible test? I would do pretty good in a Bible trivia, you know? Now, actually, my wife is better, and my dad thought he was better, but anytime Melissa and I played with my dad with Bible trivia, my dad got very, very angry at Melissa because Melissa would always win. How do you do that? I have no clue. But it's not about that. It's about... We should ask ourselves not how much we know about the Bible, but when's the last time that we were really intentionally and not on purpose, like to show off, but when were we acting like a servant? When did we do something as outrageous as wash someone's feet? And whether in our tradition we don't specifically say, yeah, it's all about the feet, let's take it up a notch and just say it's all about serving and doing the thing that's most difficult. Doing something that's most valued by someone. People back in Jesus' day did not often wash the feet. They got awful dirty feet. I mean, just awful. Nobody would bother taking the time. And when they did take a bath and wash the feet, it was an ordeal. But Jesus did the difficult thing. The thing that do you imagine how they might have felt? Hey, look at there. I got clean feet. And because it was so unusual, and Jesus says, this, you pay attention. Do this for each other. And later he said, love one another. So it's not what we know, it's what we do. And what we do isn't what we want to do. It's we do things for other people that is valuable to them. So we don't take our own customer satisfaction survey and think we're delivering a good product. We instead invite the people we serve to say, how are we doing? Are we getting it right? Are your needs being met? Do you feel included? Do you feel better having been at Cold Spring Church? See, if we did our own customer survey, we'd think we're doing everything perfect. But Jesus invites us to the table to say, you know what, we could do some things better. But everybody's in. And so this evening, we're invited to this table. And at this table, Jesus will meet us. And not, it isn't about what we know, and it isn't about who we know. It's about who we will serve. And will we serve those who are most unloved? Will we serve those who have the least resources? Will we serve those who people tend to forget? And will we serve them with joy, knowing that God has invited us to serve like Jesus? Amen.